Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and encourage you in your faith this day. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
Should we tell them it's going to go a little long today?
The what? Should we tell them we're going to go long? Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
I warned them. First of all right, I do have a few things to say. I'm going to go right into this moment. So I came here in January 25th of 2020. And then I think I met with the congregation like twice. And then COVID hit. And I was just starting to get to know the staff. I really didn't know them at all. They just saw me as another pastor in the food chain, I guess. And they were kind. They were graceful. They didn't throw things at me. They did tolerate me. And then I walked in. COVID hit. The place is empty. It's just, I mean, it is a bizarre feeling to walk into an empty sanctuary, and you got the staff and me, we're all here to do our bidding on live stream. How many of you watch the live streams? Yeah, see, it kind of worked, didn't it? It kind of did its thing. But then you had to figure out, you know, how's this live stream going to work? And then we would get emails that, you know, the sound wasn't good or the music sounded terrible and so on. I had to do that. Well, I figured out, in one of the first weeks I walked in the door, and I get here at, I guess, 9:30 or something, 10:30 service. And I walk in, and I hear the organist, who I did not know. And this is what he's playing.
Look, the home of where the wind comes from.
All right, Lance, yeah. So I walk in and I go, well, that's an interesting warm-up I haven't heard from an organist before. There's something kind of weird about Lance. So I thought, oh, this guy can play the organ. And so I thought, well, I'm going to toy with this guy. And so one service, this you don't know this, but this was hilarious. He's at the organ, he gets up. He does not know that I have him as part of the introduction of my sermon. I get up to preach, and I see going through the back, you know, because there's windows, I see him walking to go get a bagel. And I thought, well, this is going to be funny. I mean, this is going to be a moment to watch an organist run. But you don't see that. I see this. And then I get into the thing and I go, and then I'd like to have Lance play the organ. And through the system, I can see that Lance has heard his name. And in coat and tie, he comes running in the back to get to the organ, and I'm killing 30 seconds to get him there. And later he said to me after the service, you realize I never run. And this is what I asked him to play. What the world needs now Okay, Lance, all right. Just for the moment, I got two young guys sitting in front of me. That was a famous song from the 1960s. It was a peak hit that millions and millions and millions and millions of people listen to. I know it's not rap. All right, now, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Isn't that really what people are searching for? Isn't that what it is? And then I found out that Lance had another hat because I saw it on Facebook because, of course, he's on Facebook. He just doesn't run. And it was always him in his red coat. And it's because he plays for the Red Wings. He had a Red Wings song. Yeah, he had a Red Wings song. All right. That's what I just... Oh, Jonathan, I am so sorry. Oh, my gosh. And Elijah, I am really sorry. those are MSU fans. I know there's some other in here that insist on wearing green. Jonathan, who you don't, many of you don't know, Jonathan always wears green to spite me. So what I found out on that COVID era is I found out we had a team. And the team in all of its capacities, in all of its functions, we had Debbie doing the graphics, Jason on the sound and the IT and trying to figure out how to do live stream when no one was doing live stream, and Bob was trying to be the director of worship and putting music together that could be utilized in a COVID setting and live streaming. I found out that this team, Cross of Christ, you have a remarkable team. You do. And what I found out, and I started walking, and y'all, Easter, we had to do FM transmitter stuff, and Jason had to go figure out how to do FM transmitters, and you remember I was in my robe, and I was out in the parking lot, and you all pulled in with cars, and I think we had 200 people there that day in cars. We were all so hungering for community. We were all so hungering to be part of something bigger than ourselves, and we were isolated in our homes. There are seasons of beginnings and there's seasons of ends, and we all know that. Everyone in here knows that. We know that there are seasons where there's beginnings, there's wonderful beginnings. We also know that there's seasons when they come to an end, and yes, we're kind of confronting that with today. I can't get away from it. At a point, there's a decision made, and I made a decision. And I'm grieving, not that I made the decision, but that the decision had to be made and that it was time. It was time for me to go home. It was time to be with my family. Our Epic of Eden season is 12 weeks that we've been talking here. The Epic of Eden season has gone now 11 weeks with one more week to go. Well, really, this is the last sermon, and there's a Bible study for some of you for next week. Some of you have decided to do the every other week. We're going to be the eternal small group doing the Epic of Eden. That's Bob, who likes to be winsomely positive. But I'm going to tell you, in the 12 weeks that we've been walking together through this series, we have seen beginnings and ends. And if you'll remember this, remember way back in the beginning, way back in end of January when we started this sermon series, we talked about in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 1, when God created the world, God created something called Holy Shabbat, which meant holy rest. That he would give us a rest that would be without stress or without worry. Do any of us look for a rest without stress and without worry? Oh, okay, two of us. So the rest of us are lying. We all want to have a rest that is without worry, and that we don't wake up in the middle of the night wondering what about tomorrow. And even during the day, we could just say, I just want to rest my soul. And then we talked about, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we talked about the idea of a holy shalom. That shalom meant that place of peace that passes all understanding, that brings us to an eternal contentment, brought us to a place of wholeness. And so we're all, I believe in the deepest part of me that we're all yearning to be at rest, at peace within ourselves, and that we're all looking for shalom, that we can be fully content and fully satisfied with who we are as people of God, that is the essence of what happened. And then in Genesis chapter 3, when man fell into sin and we saw brokenness enter into the world and we all had to start dealing with stuff, what we found out was happening is that we lost holy rest and we lost holy contentment. So you and I live in a world that is discontented, and you and I live in a world that is lacking any rest. In fact, some of us will be grateful when we wake up and go, I slept well last night. Thank God I slept well last night. And what we see then through Scripture, all the way through Scripture, you're going to see, as Sandra Richter calls it, God's rescue plan. That was the first slide, Carter. God's rescue plan. God had a rescue plan that he was going to draw us back to Eden. So we lost Eden, and now God had a rescue plan, because ultimately what he wants for us is to be in his presence, and that we can be embraced by him, and we can have holy Shabbat, and we can have holy shalom, and we can know what it means to be complete and satisfied. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, there's this really famous verse. They put it on stationery, they put it on t-shirts. At Concordia, the football players, maybe other teams, I just see it at football players because they're large. And they always put some kind of wise saying on the back of their t-shirt. So they walk around their football shirt and they have some statement in the front, and on the back they'll have some quote of something. Oftentimes it's a biblical one. And I'm not saying that this one has been on the back of a shirt, but it's one that would be on the back of a shirt. Here's what Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says: For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Isn't that an amazing verse? Man, look at that verse. And a whole bunch of you have memorized this. A whole bunch of you wanted to tattoo it on your arm, but it's too big, Tristan. This is a verse that you would want to memorize and you would want to hold to you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope in the future. When Jeremiah wrote the verse, when he said it, we forget the context of when it was said. Jerusalem was being surrounded by the Babylonian army. They had been under siege for 2 years. People were starving to death. They could see the destruction was imminent. The Babylonian army was going to come in and people were going to die. And they did die, and the city did fall. And they were sent into exile. And they didn't know if they'd ever come home again. And they didn't know what the tomorrows are. Anybody worry about their tomorrows? What am I going to do about tomorrow? What if? What if? What if? Anybody do the what ifs? Oh, four of us. There were some other hands, six. What if? What if? And that's the fear about tomorrow. What if something happens? What if my car breaks down? What if I lose my job? What if, what if? And that's when Jeremiah speaks the verse. The city is falling into collapse. They know their life is going to change, and some of them are going to die. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. And then Jerusalem fell. I think we can get what's going on with the Babylonians. Maybe in your life, you have felt this. You have felt that same kind of what if tomorrow. The world seems to collapse and bring all sorts of garbage on us. And we don't know what the garbage is. And sometimes it comes and it's so debilitating, you don't know what to do with it. At Easter time, I shared this illustration. I'm sharing it again today. This is from a young 19-year-old who sent me this text message. I've been struggling to feel God's presence lately. Anybody remember this? Somebody was here for Easter, I know that. Doubting him in all ways possible, nearing to the point of questioning God's existence. Just recently, I've been finding my way back to him, placing my hope and trust in his hands. I long to see my dad again. And as the song "With Death Arrested" played, I saw myself meeting him in heaven, crying with joy as I finally reunite. How I miss him. I miss him so terribly so. The young man lost his dad to cancer. If there's a message I wanted to give you, no matter what your life situation is, if you're that young man or in your story, whatever your story is, that God is there in the midst of the garbage. All of the garbage you and I encounter. And God has a plan to speak into your life. And that drives me to be a pastor. A whole bunch of you have listened to me for 4 years, week in and week out. I know where you sit. You always sit in the same place because that's what we do. We always sit in the same place. So when you're not there, I get kind of worried. But you have sat in those seats and you have listened to me over the last 4 years, week in and week out. Some of you at that church plant that I did in Living Water, you listened to me for 12 years. Week in and week out, 12 years. When will he shut up? And all the things that drive me. And this is what really kind of hits me. Can I, in my own stupid sin, can I, in my own inadequacies and my own monsters, because I have them, my own garbage, can I give you the voice of possibility and hope? Can I give you the hope in Christ Jesus that's given to us? Jesus said it this way, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Remember that verse? In this world you will have trouble, But take heart. I love the King James. That's why I put it in parentheses for this, for Colin Pre-Sem student. For this verse, I like the King James Version. Vinny, where are you? Oh, you're hiding in the back. For this verse, you're also on your way to the seminary. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm going to tell you, in all of the garbage that I've dealt with in my life, and there has been substantial garbage, my family knows me as well, better than any of you do, and they know my garbage. And some of you are dear, dear friends that I'm looking out who have known me for decades in small group. You know my garbage. You know me well enough to know my stuff. And if all of that stuff is happening, if there's some way that you could show that Jesus is alive and that he gives us hope and possibility and that he has overcome the world, this world has been defeated by his death and his resurrection. And by the resurrection power, you and I can walk out this door and into the world knowing that whatever hits us, it does not win. And we may believe it's going to win. We may believe that it's attacking us. I am telling you, in all of my stuff, in all of my garbage, in all of my inadequacies, I want to lean on this promise. Where Jesus himself says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. As a result, I took that verse, and when I was in Israel about last January, I had it placed on, a year ago, I had it placed on a necklace, which I'm wearing today. And that says that. And it actually says, you got to read it just the opposite, and of course, you know, the Hebrew scholars can read it, but just go with me. It says, Daniel. Daniel, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's what it says. And every time I wear this thing around my neck, and today I'm wearing it on the outside so you can actually say I do wear it, the fact is it's a promise that keeps assuring to me that Christ does not yield his people, but he calls us forward back to Eden. You and I live in the now, but we actually are looking for the day of Revelation chapter 7 that was read a few minutes ago. That's what we're looking for. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, just think about every nation, Palestinian, Israeli, Iranian, Russian, Ukrainian. That's God's kingdom. Those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior will stand in the very presence here of God. And he says, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice. Read it with me. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. So yes, we live in a tension, you and I. We live in the tension of the here and the not yet. We live here and we're anticipating the not yet. It's coming. We have all this assurance that Jesus the Lamb is speaking into our lives, and Jesus the Lamb loves us without condition or without judgment. When we put condition and we put judgment on ourselves, his love is freely given. And we one day can live in the very presence of God and do what Revelation 7 verse 12 says. They fell down on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. That is the return to Eden. That is the Holy Shabbat. That is the holy shalom, when one day we will be fully rested and we will be fully content in the very presence of the Lamb of God. And now I come to an end. There's no question that each of us wants to leave a legacy. As I've gotten older, I've thought about it a lot more, but even the young think about what I did it make any difference? And certainly we all think about what is our legacy. To know that who we are made a difference. For you, Cross of Christ, I hope in all of my fumbling and all of my tripping, of all of my talking too much, that, Duane, you were so kind about the elders' meetings. Let me just put it all in perspective. There are five elders and me. 99% of the talking is me. You elders who are here, you are very kind. Maybe in all of that fumbling, maybe I provoked you to consider your life and your faith in Christ Jesus. Your life and your faith in Christ. You, Cross of Christ, have been my calling. But I have another calling, and this is the one that drives me. It's the other calling. The other calling is to you. It's to you. I'm coming home. I'm coming home to you. Because that little voice, that same Papa, and the six-year-old who wants to imitate him. To them, I'm coming home. Because of all my legacy, of all that legacy, the most important one is you. It's you. And the deepest thing that I want you to know to the third and fourth generation, because I wonder, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, when I'm long gone and my name is forgotten, what can I pass on to the generations to come? The eternal voice of Jesus, which says, I am with you to the very end of the age. I have a plan for you. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That message, I want you to know in all of my fumbling and shortcomings that you know quite well, that is the heart of your dad. That's what I want you to see. So my friends, thank you for being gracious and kind, for being generous, affectionate, for showing me in many ways how to do ministry after COVID and trying to figure out how to do it. And I could think of all sorts of events that you did that we had to figure out how. And I am so grateful for you. Bob is going to sing a song that I forced him to write something. Because I told Bob that it was, I love the songs Bob writes, and over my 4 years, I've had him sing some of them in worship. And I really wanted him to write something, and I admit it, I manipulated him on my last worship service. I'll let Bob explain it.
He gave me a warning. He gave me a couple of months. And basically did say, you know, you're a songwriter and you haven't written many songs and it's time you should write something. And I thought, okay, thanks for the suggestion. And then the next week he said, so have you started? and he was relentless in that. And I said to him, I've been thinking about one, and yeah, maybe this is the reason to write it. And I think it's partly because of what you've talked about, the fact that we're of a similar generation, clearly. We're the same generation. And we look in two directions from where we are. I remember when I was much younger, I didn't look that far back or ahead. I looked at the moment. And now at this time, I tend to look farther back and definitely farther forward, like Dan just said. And so I had wanted to say something about that in music, as I'm a musician. And so I composed a song that I call Legacies. And it is a song about a continuum. And the fact that Jesus said to the disciples, "Follow me." And the fact is, those two words echo for eternity, don't they? They go all the way through eternity. So as far as you can see, forward and beyond. And it made me look backwards and forwards and to see the fact that we are called to be and leave and participate in legacy that was left for us. So that's the sentiment behind this song that I was forced to write. Usually you say on a thing, you know, legacies, you know, you write down a dedication written on the occasion of, and I wrote on my first draft legacies, written at the insistence of Dan Flynn. I did, really. I erased it. I changed it, though. So. Anyway, here we go. So I hope you enjoy. We'll put the words on the screen so that if, you know, I choke up, you can sing it. It's not meant to be a congregation sing-along song. It's meant to be a song of individual. Children upon the journey, pilgrims upon the ways, sojourning toward a purpose, meaning to life and days. But this world, clouded gray, blurred the path, hides the way to our heart. Years I had traveled also, till I was gently taught, though I was ever seeking, found I was also sought. Those Christ loved came to me, lit the path, let me followed him.